Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by the great people at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up for that tailgate now. Can't leave town until you do. How about some great specials? Hams regular and light 30-pack cans, $11.95. Reds raspberry 12-pack bottles, $9.95. Great selection of local snacks now available from Schaefer Venison and Pardo's Perky Peanuts. Pickle bar, of course, second to none. We know that. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Bill Kontz in a moment on the 82 national champion Nittany Lion football team. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Hunt stays in the backfield to right of Alex Smith. Now he brings Tyreek Hill in motion. They fake the jet action. Alex Smith wants to throw all kinds of time. He wants Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. 40, 35 to the 30. Hunt breaks a tackle. 15, 10. Stiff arms a man. Gets all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. 78 yards. Kareem Hunt, welcome to the National Football League. Your second touchdown of the night.
Third-round pick out of Toledo. He had never fumbled in a game before last night. That he fumbled on his first NFL carry and then put together a spectacular performance courtesy of the Kansas City Chiefs radio network. All right, Bill Kontz, 82 national championship team. He wrote a book about it. The book is out now. He's doing book signings here in State College, and it's great to see somebody that would be considered an old friend again.
Was indeed, Steve. And first off, this has to be one of the most laid-back venues to do a radio show. We're in the alley of the tavern. Yeah. It's just a gorgeous day in State College. It's football weather. Fans are streaming by. I don't know how you get your job done here.
We're trying to somehow focus here.
I get
now.
It.
The two of them over there.
I see them.
Them. Very good. Them.
Anyway, pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. The of the roots of this, and then it came to fruition. And the roots of this were set up by the early paternal years, and then that 78 team that played for the national title. When you came into this, did you sense right away you were entering something special, or at 18, was it just a wide-eyed experience?
It became very apparent. That team that had the narrowly lost the Sugar Bowl to Alabama, so close to a national championship, a lot of returning seniors, including Bruce Clark, Matt Millen, guys that went on to have extended pro careers, Matt Sui and Mike Gooman and that crew. And they made it very apparent how upset they were at losing that, and they took it out on us incoming freshmen, Blackledge, Kurt Warner, myself, Mike McCloskey. But you got the sense very early on how good you really needed to be to step on the field at Penn State. There was that caliber of talent up here.
It's an important year here at Penn State. A lot of people don't realize to help set up what happened in 81 and 82 because they were coming off an 8-4 season and one beat Tulane in the Liberty Bowl. Then they go 10-2 in 80. Now it sets up 81, and at one point in 81, Penn State is the number one team in the country. The Miami experience where Warner, I think he pulled a hamstring by the goal line or something like that. It was in a driving rainstorm, and it did right, and it went 17-14.
You a great point. We are Penn State and Pitt are ranked 1 and 2 at the beginning of the sixth week of the 1981 season.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Kurt Warner injured a hamstring a couple of weeks prior to enabling a guy by the name of John Williams as a true sophomore to run for 140 yards in a big win over West Virginia.
Yeah.
Kurt's banged up. Chet Parlavecchio's banged up. We don't go down there to Miami at 100%. However, we had no idea what we were in for. We went down and played a very poor football game, threw the ball around, fumbled the ball, missed four field goals. It's detailed in the book. That's actually where it starts. But, you know, it's an underrated Miami team with some guys that a lot of Miami players on that defense went on and played professional football, but it knocked us from the ranks of the unbeaten.
And 2 years later, by the way, won the national championship.
Oh, by the way, right.
And when they beat Nebraska, when Nebraska went for two at the end. But I remember the going to Toffrey's right after that game, and Joe would always do his press conference at Toffrey's on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And Blackledge had thrown for, I think, 358 or something.
Coming out
like
party
that,
for him.
Right?
Yep, yep.
Huge. John Williams had 8 catches. Mm-hmm. So they asked him if, he says, you know, he says, you're going to continue to throw the ball like that? And he says, threw for 358, got licked. You know how Joe would say it.
Yep.
And you guys went back to running the football. I mean,
you got to realize at the time.
It. You balanced it.
Think about this interior wall. The two guards in the center, Sean Farrell, Jimmy Romano, and Mike Munchak. Two number ones and a number two.
Hall of Famer.
And this is weeks removed from Kurt Warner going out to Lincoln, Nebraska, and setting that stadium's rushing record with 230. Kurt Warner, before he got hurt, had an average per carry that led to 7 yards a carry. He was unbelievable. But, you know, true to form, Joe, I think, recognizes what his strengths are. And on that team, Todd wasn't quite ready, wasn't consistent enough. I think he'd admit that. We had the receivers. Kenny Jackson was a freshman, I believe. Garrity, a sophomore. We were young. So he went back to basics, if you will. Might have cost us a little bit in the Alabama game, although more mistakes there committed, and Bear Bryant bringing his team up here and just licking us again. So we go into the pit. Yeah,
I remember 8 plays inside the 10-yard line.
How do you think it was?
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was yesterday. I think, didn't he try Tommy Barr in an option pass or something like that?
It was so conservative. 7, come away with no points.
Yeah.
You know, and this is Bear Bryant coming up from Harrisburg and so forth and that hold. It was a demoralizing to be ranked number one, and then inside of 3 weeks, you know, we're 10-11. And
what did the 48-14 game do for the confidence of this team, and then to follow it up by basically just taking Marcus Allen to USC apart?
Yeah, you know, the confidence, that group of seniors led by Chet Parlavecchi, our senior co-captain, Leo Wisniewski, Rick D'Amico, Sean Farrell, Munchak, Romano, those guys had an aura about them. And I can't emphasize enough, because that's infectious. These guys projected confidence. They were arrogant. They got in a ton of fights amongst themselves in practice.
There was a swagger.
There was a swagger. Swagger is a great word. And it was well before the Pitt game, 48-14. We go out to Lincoln, Nebraska, and Chet during the week is talking about going out into a hostile territory and playing good football, solid Penn State football, and winning that game. We came back and did that. Now, we had some hiccups along the way, but the 48-14 game, that momentum shift. Now, people don't realize Dan Marino was picking our secondary apart, a secondary that included Mark Robinson, Dan Biondi, Paul Langford, Roger Jackson, right? It's 14-0, and our offense has -1 total yards offense after the first quarter. We're on the sideline thinking, what did we get ourselves into? Here we are playing in Pitt Stadium. They're ranked number one. Their crowd is loving this, right? It's their bitter rival, and they're on the ropes. And, again, for the next, the final three quarters is anything but.
So after winning that game, and then the way Penn State shut down Marcus Allen in the Fiesta Bowl, and won it really with ease. I mean, the only touchdown they scored, I think, was an interception run back for a touchdown.
Absolutely. Yep.
What did that do to the offseason to then set up an 82 season?
The returning seniors, including myself, had high expectations. The mindset at Penn State in the late 70s was 10-win seasons were the norm. We're talking 12-game schedules.
Right.
New Year's Day bowl games were the norm. Playing for the national title. We spoke off-air about, you know, every 4 years a Joe Paterno coach football team was playing for the national title. That was the expectation. That's how you prepared. Yeah. Joe would send off-season letters in the summer. Brian McCann's kind enough to send this to me, and it's documented both in the book and on the website I've constructed about what his expectations were. For 81, he mentions national championships several times in this correspondence. The 82 team, we just got the letter and said, you guys better come back and prepare to work your tails off. So he kind of knew that there was a lot of rebuilding, a lot of new faces in new places. But the confidence was always there. And it certainly helped that guys like Blackledge and Kurt Warner and Garrity stayed on campus during the summer, and they honed that 7-on-7 drill. Garrity was the one, and some of the other guys I interviewed for this book backed it up. They literally had 7-on-7. They organized themselves. I think Todd organized it themselves literally every day. So the timing of the passing game was there from day one of training camp.
And in the first 4 games of the season, they came out and threw the ball. I mean, it was dubbed Air Paterno to open up. It was a shootout with Maryland, 39-31 with Boomer Esiason. And then you get to the Nebraska game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to sit down and talk about Well, let's really shorten the list. The five greatest games in the history of Beaver Stadium. That is somewhere in your five. It may be one for some. It may be three, but that's one of the five. That was a big week. I remember this. The rumor was going on that Blackledge got hurt in practice.
I hadn't heard that.
Yes.
Wow.
The rumor was that Blackledge got hurt in practice.
I see.
And it used to be, remember, they were freshmen. Freshman football still happened at that time.
Yeah.
It was over the Flower Garden.
Yeah, I remember that.
And everybody saw Blackledge standing there, just standing there, and they went, oh, well, he doesn't have a...
Yeah, well, if he was injured, his shoulder was sore from throwing all the touchdown passes.
Touchdown.
I mean, the first three games, four touchdowns in each of the three wins over Temple, Maryland, and Rutgers, all at home.
Yep.
An aerial display. Kenny Jackson was quoted as saying, it's like night and day around here. And he's exactly right. Now, that didn't bode so well for an offensive line that was... at that point, we had Mark Battaglia starting his third or fourth game ever as a fifth-year senior. We moved Dave Laub and Pete Spiros from tackle to guard. Ron Heller, a former tight end. A lot of inexperience, and it showed early on.
Because Munchak actually could have come back for a year, but Mike decided, he got his degree, and at that time, if you got your degree, you could enter the draft, and Mike did that, so he did not come back.
For that. It helps when you go to the Olympia Bowl.
Olympia Gold Bowl in San Diego.
And just flattens everybody's C's and just rockets up the draft chart to be the seventh or eighth player picked in the draft, and the rest speaks for itself. He's an NFL Hall of Famer. I lined up right next to, and that's the other thing. In addition to the arrogance and the confidence, you did not want to play poorly in their presence because they would make it very clear to you what the expectation was. You got better because you witnessed it, as well as saying, look, we expect to run for 300 yards, and then we plan to win this football game. If you're not holding up your end of the rope, we're going to let you know about it.
Well, the game of Nebraska, Penn State was far more dominant than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were two touchdowns called back on penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I think Garrity scored both of them. They got called back.
One to Kurt Bowman, one to Garrity.
You're right. And there were four missed field goals.
Yes.
People forget, Massimo
and
Omega.
And an extra point at the end.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was just going to say. Massimo Omega had, the nightmare of all nightmare days. He missed four field goals. And then on the game, one where everybody's all happy, and he missed the extra point, too.
Right. I mean, on national TV, no less.
You get the final drive.
Mm-hmm.
And this part's from memory. That Nebraska kicked off after Turner Gill scored.
Correct.
And there was they got a 15-yard penalty
on
sportsmanlike conduct.
Right.
So you start from the 35.
Yep.
Talk about what's the huddle like.
Well,
what's the
huddle like? Even before we're in the huddle, we're on the sideline. And Battaglia pulls the offense together, and it's just a reaffirmation of what we've done all day. And it's like, look, fellas, we have enough time to do this. They haven't stopped us. We're going to get this thing done. Blackledge gets in the huddle, and Ron Heller's quoted book as to how captivated he was at how calm Blackledge was, how he's reinforcing exactly what Mark was saying in a matter-of-fact fashion. Now, in that environment, the fans are going crazy. We got a shot at this, right? We got 65 yards away from Pater. And it was so methodical to see how he ran the offense. He was so sharp, so accurate. Last week with McSorley and Akron, I saw that. It was amazing how he had so many guys in stride.
Yeah.
Todd's doing this under intense pressure.
Yeah.
And it was a thrill to be. First off, we're so tired because at that point, we had rung up about 450 yards total offense against a decent Nebraska defense. But it's up and down the field for most of that time. But a thrill to be part of it, and all I remember and what I detail in the book is that the sidelines are lined with people. It seemed like six or seven deep. It was as if the stadium security either were so caught up in it they were watching themselves or they had gone home early and didn't want to be part of it. A truly phenomenal, phenomenal ending to a game.
The only two catches of Kurt Bowman's career.
Mm-hmm. Both touchdowns
in that game. Then Alabama. I mean, you're the better team. And that's the one where Mark Robinson got hurt in the game.
Mm-hmm.
People forget Mike Suter filled in for him, and Mike picked off a pass in the game. It's right there in the book.
Six or seven tackles.
Yeah.
Right.
In a big game.
Yep.
And he's only remembered for Ralph Giacomero finding his backside.
Isn't that what society does to us? And it's so funny, and I give the book away, but Mike gets off the plane and his brother calls him and he says, "Their ESPN is calling." Now ESPN is just in its infancy, right? A couple years old.
That's
but
right,
ESPN is calling Mike Suter the loneliest man in college football. Now you got to know Mike, and when he comes back this weekend, he handled it with such class, and it's just people don't realize the guy had never been the personal front protector. Minimal snaps in practice
because it was Mark.
Right,
Mark was the personal front protector. I think.
I think he was. In fact, that's exactly right. But we go down there high. We just beat Nebraska at home, and we're ready to take on the Bear. Joe's never beaten a guy. It's Legion Field. It's, again, on national television. Yeah. The NFL strike's going on. We're the marquee team again. We're pumped up. We're ready to play, and what do? Just like we did in Miami, we're beating ourselves with turnovers. And that was so frustrating. We're down 21-7 half, and then we start coming back.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to folks in this book, and I hope if you're listening, you pick up a copy of When the Lions Roared. I had a great time putting it together, but I mentioned in the acknowledgments the original title to this was 6 Minutes in Birmingham, because there were 6 minutes or so left on the clock. We've got a 3rd-and-1. We're down 27-21 in Alabama territory. Constant McCloskey don't block so well on a sweep. Kurt gets knocked back for a 3-yard loss. We have to punt. If Mike doesn't essentially block our own punt, maybe we pin Alabama back. It's a what if, who knows kind of thing. But people look at the final score and say, oh, Alabama blew you out. They may have had a strong first half, but we were fighting back, and we were on the cusp of potentially pulling that thing off.
Joe told me once that after that game, Bear Bryant called him. And, of course, Joe would have to shut the door because, you know how Bear talk. Bear asked him, he says, I think you guys are really, really good. Are we good?
No kidding. I'd never heard that story.
Yeah, Joe told me that story years ago.
Wow.
And Bear won. He says, are we any good?
Alabama teams are always good. I mean, they kind of fell off that year.
Yeah,
they finished, I think, playing in the Liberty Bowl and
Illinois,
8-4, something like that.
Yep.
But, when you played teams like Alabama and Nebraska, you were arguably playing against players you would see at the next level.
Yeah.
And Rick DiMicco, who was a senior on the 81 team, when I'm talking to him about it, I says, Ricky, did it ever bother you? He says, no. He says, it was just next team up, next man up, next week up.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe had this schedule in such a way that he was going to prove to people whether or not the grand experiment worked.
He scheduled a national championship schedule.
He created his own college football playoff 30
exactly.
years before it ever existed.
That's a great point, because then you start with Syracuse, and now you start in the comeback trail. I mean, there's a determination on this football team. We're not going to let it. That's it. We're not going to let anything happen from here on out.
It starts with Joe Coles.
Yeah.
In that locker room, we're all sweaty, dog-tired, high humidity, and just beaten down. We're like, how did we come down here and play as poorly as we did? It's 42-1. And he gets up on his stool and delivers as emphatic and impassioned a speech as I've ever been part of. And I've been in locker rooms with Joe Paterno, Sam Ratigliano, Marty Schottenheimer, Jim Mora, Coles' speech. And he'll be on campus this weekend. And I hope people recognize what Joe Coles did to literally inspire his teammates. And we got showered and dressed. And even before that plane landed in Harrisburg, we had a mindset that when we next step on the practice field, it is going to be a work ethic, and we're going to put in extra time. And it started, like you said, with this, where Joe wanted to get back into the running game.
Yep.
And the weather was in. It was a homecoming game.
Yep.
And we had really beaten up Syracuse last year with Farrell and Munchak leading Kurt Warner to break Shorty Miller's rushing record.
That's right.
Remember that in the Carrier Dome?
Yep, 250 up there,
256. So the next year, Syracuse brings guys that are angry. Mike Charles, big defensive lineman, Miami draft him. Tim Green, Atlanta Falcons, undersized, but a really active nose tackle. And a guy named Blaze Winter went to San Diego. This is an NFL caliber front line, and it's a wet day. And these guys, Joe's committed to running the ball. And he says, we got to cut Kurt loose. And he called Kurt into his office that week and says, we're going back to basics here. And the offensive line was the perfect time to do it, because we had just enough experience to get that done. It was a pivotal win for us that year.
And it was because it got everything back on track and reestablished the Penn State identity.
Yeah,
I mean, you got back to your identity. Before Notre Dame, I remember Joe saying, it was the post game, running off the field the game before Notre Dame, and John Grant was the one doing the post game show at the time. And he looks at it, he says, John, we're in a 3-game playoff for the national championship. They stated it right out.
It shocked some of the players, including myself, because Joe Paterno was never showing his hand early and create bulletin board material. And here he was, that confident in this team, because we had just come off a 52-17 shellacking of Doug Flutie in Boston College up in Chestnut Hill. When that is a very good football team, the best they've had in years, we come home and beat NC State, a team that's always given us problems. That game was 47-0 third quarter. Yep. Two lopsided victories, right? And when we started reading that, and that was the day that Notre Dame upset number one Pitt in Pitt Stadium, right? So all of a sudden the stakes are raised, and of who's doing it is Joe Paterno talking about his own team. Three-game playoff, and if we're good enough to navigate it, we should be playing for the national title.
There's been a long history of teams going into Notre Dame Stadium for the first time, and, of course, along the, that didn't. I remember Joe made a big deal out of it that week. He said, yeah, so what? Penn State hasn't done it.
His quote in the pregame meal the night before, and this is after the media just really irritated with some kind of questions, apparently. He says, look, Newt Rockne is not going to jump up out of the field and tackle anybody. This is Penn State. We're going to show these people how we play on the road.
Yeah.
We're going to do exactly what we came here to do. We're going to walk out of here with a victory. We're that good. He was, again, another guy. It's funny how you can build confidence simply by having leaders like a Joe Paterno or a Joe Coles really reinforce the message that we're as good as anybody in the country. And at that point in that season, it was something that that we'd all felt was true.
Bill Kontz. He'll be honored with his teammates on the field tomorrow at Beaver Stadium, the 1982 team in their 35th anniversary since winning that national title. Also, the 2016 Big Ten Championship. They'll put 2016 up on the front of the suites tomorrow. Bottom of the hour news, and then we'll do predictions. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar indeed is second to none. Love the barrels and love the dills. It's also a great time to go over with the tailgate coming up to take a look at the great specials they have on hand at Brewers Outlet. Some of those specials this time around do include Hams regular and light 30-pack cans, $11.95. Reds raspberry 12-pack bottles, $9.95. Plus a great selection of local snacks available from Schaefer Venison and Pardo's Perky Peanuts. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here with 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, let's see. One person went 4-1. A second person went out and went 4-1. And some massive idiot went 2-3 in the opening week of the season and is two games behind
Sorry,
it's almost as if that dude didn't even try.
I couldn't stop laughing every game. I'm sorry. You did really good.
No, I didn't. No, I did.
You got two right. That's good.
Well, I got Virginia Tech right. That one I got right.
Yeah.
Well, I had the upset special of the season. I don't know if I'm going to be able to top that with taking Maryland over Texas last week.
That was blew my mind. Oh, my gosh. Texas has major problems. Major problems. Have you ever seen a powerhouse school like that just totally collapse?
Well, Baylor lost last week. That was rough.
They've got their issues with the school. Yeah. It's just a mess. The whole program's a mess. But Texas is, they can't get out of their own way anymore.
But you know what? He's making a mistake, though, and I do agree with Urban Meyer on this point, that, look, don't start blaming everybody else. Walk in the room. The second you take the job, those are your players.
Mm-hmm.
Stop blaming everybody else. They're your players. You got to coach them up.
Yeah, don't take the job. You know, don't take the job if you feel that way. You know, they're not going to be your players for 4 years. So, I mean, what's that mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, that's the way it goes. But Maryland played so well. They were not very good at all.
But they lost their quarterback for the year.
Yeah.
That's a big problem for them moving forward.
Yeah. How about Carton? Did you guys touch on Carton at all this week?
We did. We mentioned it when it came out about the Ponzi scheme, yes.
Yeah, boy, I listened to them all the time for years and years. I'm just shocked. I mean, that was his dream job to get on FAN. I mean, who wouldn't want that job? And you're out there, gambling's bad, real bad.
Well, not only that, but I guess, I mean, here's the point where people don't know when somebody's doing something. I mean, Boomer Esiason was, he's taking the day off sick. I'm getting sick and tired of this, and blah, 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 blah. Guess what? He's not sick. He's being handcuffed.
Yeah, he really did not know what was going on.
At all.
He was just kind of blindsided by it. They told him while he was on the air that he's not sick. He's sick.
CBS Sports Network was all in promoting the show. They were really doing some very creative videos and promos that they were running on the network, so you could tell they were in that for the long haul for the show.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we have for games this week?
All right, well, let's shoot for some college games first. We got 3 college, 3 pro. And I know, Steve, you focused on these three last week, last hour, I should say.
Jack called me earlier today, Jack Cam. And I said we talked about it for 25 minutes. We do a prediction segment on the pregame show. So, Sean, go ahead, Sean, ask the question you asked.
Well, no, you had said, what was the one thing we did not talk about in our 25-minute conversation?
Oh.
I thought the game, because you have your prep done and Jack has his prep done, so I figured you guys were talking about lighthearted stuff. But, yeah, one thing you guys did not talk about was the pick segment.
Ever. In fact, when we do the pick segment on the broadcast, because we talk 2-3 times a week, and it's always exchanging notes. Hey, they worked on this, they worked on that, he thinks that, you know, and then we'll talk about what, you know, he'll tell me a couple things he saw on tape from Pitt, things like that. So we talked a lot about the game, then a couple of other things as well. But we never talk about the pick segment. In fact, every time the pick segment comes up, the two of us look at each other, oh, really? We got to do that again? Okay. We'll put a lot of effort into it.
What's the pick segment?
What we do here.
Except we do it on the radio network with, and a fan has an opportunity to win every week and then join us and pick with us or against us in the segment. It's 3 games.
What do they win?
They get tickets to the game and field access for the last 5 minutes of the half in the game. Things like that.
I got a pickle.
It was a really good one, though.
It was.
Yeah, it was a very good pickle.
Only the best.
And you renegotiated for more pickles. We all agreed, so we'll just go from there.
I think we should up the pickle ante.
You seemed very content with that last week.
I love the pickles. It got us all the way home. So
exactly.
A long
right.
pickle
right.
ride home.
So what games do we have?
All right, we'll go with college first. Auburn. At Clemson.
Who's first?
I guess I can go first. Let's see. I'll take Clemson.
I'm all in with Dabo Sweeney. I think the guy's a great, great coach. I got Clemson at home. Very tough to beat after a national championship.
But this is going to be a good tight ball game. I don't expect a blowout.
Yeah, Auburn's good.
Auburn, especially with Stidman now a quarterback, is really, really good, but I also think they're a year away. Clemson at home.
Yep. All right, prime time tomorrow night, the rematch, this time in the Shoe, Oklahoma and Ohio State. I'll go Ohio State just because of that D-line.
The tendency is to look at last year's game and say, boy, Ohio State, it just got their number. Well, Baker Mayfield back. I like Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's going to steal this one.
I just want to see how Baker.
I was not impressed by Ohio State last week at all.
I just want to see how Baker does against that D-line.
True.
See how composed he'll be.
True, but he's got a big offensive line back in front of him from last year. So it's going to be a great game, and Oklahoma's pissed off. So they were embarrassed last year at home. I just think they're going to want to return the favor, and I don't think Ohio State's recovered from that shellacking they took at the hands of Clemson last year. They look like they don't want to make a mistake when they're on the field. Anyway, well, it's an observation from the East.
You know how I feel about Big 12 defenses in non-conference games. If you gave me a choice between a Big 12 defense and the Maginot line, I would select the Maginot line every single time. Check your World War II history. It'll help you out with the joke. Ohio State wins by 14.
Wow. Okay, there's a bubble game right there.
All right, and we will go West. Stanford and USC. I'm going to go with the Trojans.
Me too. USC had a tough game last week with Western Michigan. I saw some of it, and that was tough. But Western Michigan's good. Stanford had a cakewalk, so Stanford hasn't been tested yet. I got USC.
Yeah, I'm going with USC. I watched a good chunk of that game last week on Pac-12 Network. They didn't play well, and they do have some deficiencies, but I'm not sold completely on Stanford either, so USC.
All right, that's our triple play for college. Now we move on to the pros for Sunday. This will be the debut of Tony Romo and Jim Nance on CBS. Oakland and Tennessee. Great matchup. Great matchup with quarterbacks. I mean, if you're comparing quarterbacks, obviously Derek Carr better than Marcus Mariota, but his star, his arrow is pointing up. It's a toss-up. What is it? I think what's the spread running? Is it two? I think Nick Oakland may be getting two, but I'm going to take Tennessee.
I'm banking on Marshawn Lynch is going to be the same player. He's had a year off the rest, and with Marshawn Lynch, Oakland can be a great team. And with Mac at linebacker, I like Oakland in this one.
I've never been a big Marshawn Lynch guy. I never have.
God, he carried Seattle.
I just never have been a big Marshawn Lynch guy. But
you
I
don't
think
like
Oakland
Kittle.
Go, Yeah. Oakland, I will agree with Matt Millen. Matt Millen, who did the Raiders preseason game, said Oakland will go as far as their defense. I agree with that. I think Oakland will win this game.
All right, next we got from Lambeau, Seattle and Green Bay. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Cool. It's going to be a big old week here. I'm not going to bet against Aaron Rodgers at home. And to me, this is one of those years for a great quarterback like Peyton Manning had. You want to be considered one of the greats, you're going to have to win more than one Super Bowl. And I think this is the year that Aaron Rodgers is really going to dig in. I don't trust Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's history is when he's been around for a little while, things start to get old, and like at USC, and he'll have great success, and then things fall apart on him. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Green Bay at home.
And we got a lot of different ones.
We do. And Sunday night prime time with Al, Chris, and Michelle, NBC.
I'm sorry,
Giants.
I'm going first on this one.
Okay.
There is no way on the face of the earth I will ever pick the Dallas Cowboys to beat the New York Giants.
I know you won't.
The New York Giants will win the game. I don't care if I lose it. I'm not picking Dallas. When it comes to the Giants and the Cowboys, that's it. I draw the line. Giants. I may be absolutely wrong, but inside, I did the right thing.
You can sleep tonight. That's good.
They may lose 42-0. I picked my team to win.
Well, see, my problem is I'm in it to win it, and I don't think the Giants could beat the Cowboys this year. Mm. Last year, the Giants had their number big time, you know, but they only won by a total of, I think, 4 points.
I will not pick Dallas to beat my New York Giants. I don't care if it's 1966 all over again and the Giants are 1-12-1. I still would pick the Giants.
Why are you a Red Sox fan?
Why?
How can you like the Giants and love the Red Sox?
Because the Giants
doesn't make sense.
When we were kids, the Giants were in the NFL.
Yeah, I know.
And the Patriots were in the AFL. And the Patriots were in the AFL, and I didn't think the AFL was as good.
I love the Giants, too. I just can't. The Giants need a running game, Steve. They don't have a running game. They didn't do anything to make the running game any better.
My team is absolutely deficient. I will not pick them to lose to Dallas.
The Giants' best running back last year, they didn't bring him up, bring it back, one Dancing with the Stars. Okay? He's a good dancer, but not a great running back. And they didn't even bring him back.
If you can't run the
ball in the NFL, you can't win. Period. But you keep picking them.
The day I pick Dallas to beat the Giants is the day I make a deal with the devil.
Oh, God. Sean, take Dallas, please.
So the answer is no. I will go down in flames, but I'll go down in flames on principle.
I think the Giants defense has enough to do it Sunday night. I'm taking the Giants.
All right. I got the Cowboys.
Okay. I convince one fool.
Now, the Giants' secondary is as good as any secondary in football. My problem is they can't run the ball.
Landon Collins is really good.
You have to keep Dallas's offense off the field. You got to keep Elliott off the field, and the only way you're going to do that is running the ball.
Well, after this week, we'll
run and gun it.
Well, after this week, we'll keep Elliott off the field maybe a maximum of 6 weeks.
Yeah, he gets 10 to 15 years. Wow, we got a lot of different. This is going to be a make or break week. Wow.
See, that's why I used to argue with the suit all the time about his fantasy football thing. I said, so in other words, if you have the Ravens defense as your fantasy football defense and they're playing your team, the Steelers, that means you're picking against them.
True.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, that question put him in the fetal position in the office for 3 days.
I think it was either the last year or next to last year I was in fantasy football, and that was just a year I was completely depleted at quarterback, and I ended up having to, on a bye week, when we were able to drop and add players, I had to pick up Akili Smith just to have someone on the bench. And it was a week where the Steelers are taking on the Bengals, and I didn't have a choice. My other quarterback was on a bye week. I had to start Akili Smith the week they were taking on the Steelers.
How'd you do?
If that meant I had to pick Tony Romo for my fantasy team, I would pick the third-string quarterback for the Cardinals. I won't do it. I can't.
That's what led me into. That was one of the reasons that led me into retirement.
Wow. I'm picking Corey Linsley. All right, that's my guy.
God, I would check the waiver wire 25-8, and I was just getting gray hairs all over the place. I can't deal with this anymore. This is just too stressful. This is too intense.
I'd pick Earl Morrill. he's retired. Good enough. But you could have Tony Romo. Rather have Earl Morrill.
Wow, you hate the Cowboys. Holy moly.
When they play the Giants. I mean, there'll be other weeks they'll play the Eagles or whatever. I'll pick the Cowboys left and right. There are two times a year. There is no way. Okay? There will be things freezing over in Hades before I disgrace my team and pick Dallas.
Well, see, I look at it this way. I want the Giants to win the game. So, if the Giants win, I'm happy, even though I lost it here. But if Dallas wins, I win it here. I'm happy. So either way, I'm happy. And I just want to be happy.
Look, if the Giants win, I've got both the win on the show and I've got the game. Good. There.
Yeah, but you only have one chance to be happy. I have two. So... I mean,
oh no, talk to me tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I'll tell you what happy is. All right.
Oh, no. Oh, the football game. Oh. Okay. Yeah, my mind wandered there. What up?
No. Kickoff's at 3:30 tomorrow.
What up, man? That good for you. Ooh, yeah,
kickoff's at 3. Kickoff's at 3:30 tomorrow. Things go the way everybody hopes around here. I don't care what happens Sunday.
Yeah, that Pittsburgh game screwed them last year. They got to win it this year. So, yep,
well, tomorrow we're on the air at 2:00.
I'm saying 49-10 Penn State. I don't know, Kevin, if you have a score prediction or not.
I'm going to say Penn State will win the game by at least 3 touchdowns.
Of course, the host of the show, we will not ask for a game prediction, but one key that you and Jack will kick around tomorrow before kick.
Staying on or off schedule. Pitt wants to run the football. Mixing a pass here and there, but they want to run the football. They want to eat some time off the clock. So can Penn State get them into, instead of being 2nd and 6, 2nd and 8 or 9, instead of being 3rd and 2, make them 3rd and 6 or 7. Force them into a spot where they have to throw the football to get something done. Conversely, Penn State on schedule, getting 6, 7, 8 on first down, 6, 7, 8 on second down, things like that.
Tell the average fan, like myself, was Penn State tested last week at all?
No, not really, but their efficiency was so good it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that they did what they were supposed to do, and they blew them out. Yeah.
And I think it's one of the things tomorrow is Penn State dictating the tempo in this game on both sides of the ball. They do that, then a lot of people are going home happy.
Yeah. Well, we'll be listening to you because we're going to be on the road driving. Good. So we'll have you on. Are you on Sirius or on WKOK?
We're on Sirius and WKOK. We're on both tomorrow.
Got them both covered.
All right. We'll have you tuned in.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.